You've undoubtedly heard musicians, athletes, teachers, coaches, and psychologists all rave about the virtues of mental imagery, how it can not only enhance your learning, but improve performance, help build self-confidence, regulate your emotional state, and more. But you've probably also heard that for imagery to be effective, you must be able to generate vivid, clear images, or sounds, or kinesthetic sensations. So what are we to do if we can't create a clear image, sound, or physical movement? What if the only thing we can conjure up is a fuzzy, vague, fleeting image? What if all we can see and hear are misshifts and cracked notes? Should we scrap the idea of imagery altogether, or just keep at it in the hopes that one day something will finally click? Researchers have known for some time that imagery ability is a skill that varies from individual to individual. Much like any physical skill, whether it's running, jumping, or sniping a bad guy with your precision gaming mouse, some folks find visualization pretty natural, while others find it to be a real challenge. There hasn't actually been a ton of research, though, devoted to finding ways to get better at imagery. For the most part, the idea has been that if you do more imagery, you'll eventually get better at it. But that's not particularly helpful advice, right? It's like if I went to my teacher, expressed my frustration at not being able to play fingered octaves, and their advice was to practice more fingered octaves, that if I just did more of them, I'd eventually get better at fingered octaves. Which, I guess, is perfectly valid advice in the most general sense, but it's not really as helpful as being given a specific strategy for improvement. So what is it that actually makes up an image in the first place? Well, part of what makes imagery challenging is that real life is a pretty rich and complex experience. So in order to make each image clear and vivid, there are quite a lot of elements we need to be able to add to that movie in our head. Here are the three main areas. One category is comprised of all the external elements of the situation, like the architecture of the room, the acoustics, and that itchy tag on your shirt that you meant to cut off but totally forgot. These would be called stimulus propositions. The other aspect of imagery is our internal experience, including muscle tension, increased heart rate, and our cold, clammy zombie hands. Those would be called response propositions. And finally, there's our interpretation of it all, as in whether we see the situation as a challenge or a threat, or whether we're feeling anxious or energized. Those would be called meaning propositions. So a team of British researchers developed an imagery training technique called Layered Stimulus Response Training, or LSRT for short, that's built on the principle of developing imagery ability in layers, one tiny step at a time, instead of trying to create a vivid scene all at once. Somewhat like the process of building a house, from pouring the foundation, to framing, to interior decoration, adding a little bit more detail and refinement with each new stage. There are three main steps of LSRT. Step one is the imaging stage, and this is where you generate an image, something like playing through the first movement of a concerto in studio class. It's best if the image is something that comes from past experience, as this will make it a lot easier to imagine the details. An important part of this step is describing as much of the scene as you can in words, because if you can't describe what you see in your head, it's probably a sign that the image is not clear and vivid enough. Once you get that image in your head, you'd let the imagery play out until the scene ends at some logical point, like the end of your studio class performance or the last note of a scale that you're playing. The second step of LSRT is reflection. This is where you would rate the image that you just created, where 1 equals no image at all, only thinking of the scenario, and 5 equals a perfectly clear and vivid image. And you'd reflect on the quality and completeness of this image that you just created. Did you see the visual elements of the location? Did your image also incorporate how your hands felt? Were you able to hear the sound of your instrument? The idea is to break the image down and identify which parts were vivid and which parts were unclear. This way you have some sort of an idea what to add to the image in your next attempt. The third step of LSRT is development. After reflecting on your imagery attempt, you can either re-image the same exact thing, focusing on the elements that were the most vivid and easiest to imagine clearly, or you could try to develop the image by adding another layer of detail on top. It could be another aspect of the space, like adding a stand or different lighting to your image, or it might be a change in perspective, like going from a third-person perspective to a first-person perspective, or it could be something like the addition of vibrato to your sound, or how your fingers feel during a tricky shift. If this process seems vaguely familiar, it may be because it resembles the formula for deliberate practice, where you try something, reflect on how it went, and then plan small adjustments or improvements for your next attempt. So does this really work? It sounds like it might, but the team responsible for developing LSRT had to do a study to really be sure. So they took 24 participants with little to no golfing experience, and also those who happened to be low in imagery ability, and put them through a 4-day visualization program. One group completed a visual imagery session every day, where they were asked to imagine seeing the golf ball running along the green and gently rolling into the hole 5 times. Another group engaged in a daily motor imagery session, where they were asked to imagine yourself correctly and successfully performing the golf putting task 5 times. And the third group was trained in this 3-step LSRT process and asked to imagine yourself correctly and successfully performing the golf putting task 5 times, utilizing this reflective and additive layering process. After 4 days of practicing golf putts in their heads, only the LSRT group improved their ability to mentally feel the shot. And perhaps more intriguingly, only the LSRT group actually improved their putting performance, which suggests that imagery ability can be improved with the right kind of practice, and secondly, that it can be improved enough to produce results of actual, practical, tangible significance. So if you've struggled with visualization in the past, this might be as good a week as any to give LSRT a try. Here's a quick summary of how this might look. Step 1, visualize a passage. Step 2, reflect, evaluate, and rate the vividness from 1 to 5, as in which parts were easiest to imagine, which parts were most clear and vivid. And step 3 would be to repeat that process. Each time you do it, aiming to make the clearest, easiest to imagine elements even more vivid, or adding on an additional layer of imagery data to that last image. The idea would be to repeat this a total of 5 times for 1 set of 5 repetitions, each time taking the vividness of the image up a level or adding more details, something like how effortless and light your fingers feel, or something like the feeling of confidence before executing a tricky shift. Don't worry too much about what the correct thing to add to the image might be. Just add whatever detail you feel would make the image more realistic.